This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the book of Acts, we read Paul's final words to the church leadership in Ephesus. His message to them involved living a life of radical generosity. Today, Pastor Sam will conclude a sermon titled, The Biblical Foundation for Gospel Stewardship. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Whatever God has granted you, He intends for you to disperse. That is what a faithful steward does. Majestically, we see this in the person of Christ. This model doesn't just require faithful stewardship. It involves radical generosity. And we see a majestic expression of this in the person of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, "You Corinthians know something. You have experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says this, "That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." Moses was rich, but he chose to suffer affliction with God's people, and in a greater day and in a better way, a better Moses, who himself was rich, chose to become poor so that you and me, through the poverty he embraced, might become rich. And when we hold too tightly to the earthly resources that this God has placed in our care, we fail to grasp the majestic immensity of his radical generosity to us. When we respond to God's radical generosity by ourselves being generous with the resources he puts in our hands, it brings immense pleasure to God. Your radical generosity brings God pleasure. You say, where do you see that in Scripture? You see it in the story that is recorded in Mark 12 when a widow came to the temple. Jesus was standing in the temple with his disciples, and they were watching people coming to the temple to give their tithes and their gifts. And as they were watching, a widow, and it's obvious that she was poor, a widow comes and deposits her two mites in the treasury box. And as she walks away, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says to them, "I want you to know something about that widow. I want you to see something. I want you to understand something." He says, "Truly," this is an immense word, "verily, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live in." What in the world would motivate a humble, poverty-stricken widow to give her last resource to God at the temple? What could possibly have moved her to do this? Can I suggest, using sanctified imagination, this is not in the text, this is just me thinking out loud, maybe she remembered something in God's word. A little bit later, we're going to find out where radical generosity comes from. It comes from something we confess about God. And maybe she remembered something about God in his word that happened to another widow that lived centuries before her. Maybe she remembered the story of God's man, God's prophet, coming to an old widow, a poor widow living in Zarephath, and saying to her, "I want you to give me to eat." And she says, "I have nothing to give. I have this little bit of flour, I have this little bit of oil, and we're gathering sticks to make our last meal." And God says to her through Elijah, "I want you to feed me first." And you know the story, don't you, how that widow's oil and her flour never ran out. And that story made it into the pages of inspired Scripture. And maybe, just maybe, this widow, as she was reflecting on her last two mites said, you know what? I want to give these mites to God. And God can take care of me just like he took care of another widow before me. You say, well, how in the world are you going there? And the answer is God has given to you abundantly and graciously, but he's also given to you an incomparable gift. There is unfathomable grace in the inexpressible gift that God has given. Listen to how Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8. What shall we say, Paul said, when we think about this kind of living, when we think about what God has done, when we think about the grace of God, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? And what's the answer to that? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is nobody. Nobody in heaven, nobody on earth, nobody in the realms, the spiritual realms, nobody can be against us if God is for us. And so here's the question. How do I know that God is for me? Paul goes on to say, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him also graciously give us all things? God did not spare his own son. It's not like when Jesus stood to take off the robes of his glory as he prepared to enter humanity and to be incarnated in human flesh. It's not like God held on tightly and said, no, you can't go. You mustn't go. God opened his hands. He did not spare his own son. And if God gave us that gift, how can we doubt that he's going to give us all that we need for life and godliness? Which really brings us to the last thing that we want to talk about this morning. We've looked at the meaning of what grace-enabled, gospel-focused stewardship is like. We saw how it manifests itself in our life, and we looked at a model of this, what it actually looks like in practice. But how is it accomplished? How is it cultivated? You know, these biblical texts that we've looked at show immense beauty and immense benefit that comes when we steward our life and our resources in these ways. But you and I both know that it's costly. You and I both know that it's risky. I mean, there was a moment where that widow held those two mites, and as she deposited them in the treasury box, surely there was a question, now what? Now what? And radical generosity is going to put you in that place over and over and over again. When you give and it leaves your hand, there's going to come a moment where you're going to say, now what? How am I going to do what I need to do? How am I going to do this? How am I going to accomplish this? What about this? I may be able to force my hands to let go of whatever is in them that God is asking for, but how do I change my heart so that when it leaves my hand, it doesn't leave with a tight-fisted heart? It leaves with radical generosity flowing out of deep gratitude at the ability and the opportunity to give. I think there are moments in your life, like there are in my life, where you sense God wants you to do something with your time. And you look at your time and you're like, I already don't know how to get everything I need to get done done. My schedule is so packed. If I could make a 26-hour day, I would. Because I'm trying to live 26 hours in 24. And it's not working. And now my pastor or somebody at church is asking me to do this or to take on that. There is no possible way. Or maybe you're looking at your checkbook and God has been prompting you to do something for another servant or for some missionary or some project that's going on, and you look at your checkbook and the math doesn't add up. You know how math works in your house? There's the days of the month and there's the amount of money. And the trick is to make sure that when you get to the end of one, you have more of the other. And it's really bad when you have more month and money than money, right? It's really good when there's more money than month, but it's really bad when it's the other way. Most of us live and we're just praying to get to the end of the month and hoping that our money will last. And then God says, now, I'm going to interrupt all of that. I'm going to ask you to give. And there is this sense in which we give what he's asked us to, but our heart is like, now what? Now what do I do? So how do I cultivate the kind of heart? What is the means for this gospel-enabled stewardship that we're talking about? What does God have to do in me to cultivate radical generosity? Radical generosity is cultivated when we recognize that it comes from the strength that God supplies. I am never going to have the strength to do what God is asking me to do, whether it be in my time or in my talent or in my treasure. I'm never going to have the strength that this kind of living, producing this kind of giving, demands. I don't know why it's popping up like that, so I'm going to get real quiet. A certain person in the congregation will appreciate how quiet I'm trying to get at this moment. My giving flows out of a living, and my living flows out of my heart, and my heart will never be strong enough to give until God supplies the strength it needs. And so when you and I hear kind of a message from the Word of God like this, and we panic because we say, I don't have the time, I don't have the strength, I don't have the ability, God says, no, wait a minute, you misunderstood. I am going to give you the strength that you need. We cultivate radical generosity because of the strength that God supplies, but we use the resources that God supplies. 2 Corinthians 9 has a very interesting quotation from Psalm 112. Paul says to the Corinthians these words, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Here is someone who has abundant seed, and he reaches down into the seed bag and he pulls up huge fistfuls of seed, and he just distributes it widely wherever he's walking because there is a harvest he hopes to reap. Now, when I first looked at this text, I have always thought this until I really got into it, but I just assumed that the person in verse 9 who is distributing freely is the same person in verse 10 who's getting the harvest. I assumed it was God. God is the one who distributes freely. He gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. But as I looked at Psalm 112, I began to see that verse 9 and verse 10 are talking about two different people. Verse 9 is talking about a righteous man whose righteous life is marked by generosity. And verse 10 explains where he got the seed that he's generous with. There is someone who keeps putting seed in his bag. This is what verse 10 is talking about. It's referring to Isaiah 55, 10, where God talks about sending down rain from heaven and snow from heaven. And out of that, the earth reaps an abundant harvest. The same God who waters the earth and give seed for sowing is the God who's going to put resources in your bag so that you can be a person whose life is marked by radical generosity. And he wants to use your radical generosity for gospel purposes. 2 Corinthians 9:10 has this statement, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. That's God. And here's why. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. God has gospel ends to your radical generosity. When he puts seed in your bag, when he puts resources in your hand, when he gives talents to your life, and he tells you, I want you to be radically generous with what I've given you. I want you to use your life for gospel ends. There are some things that God is up to. One of the things is in verse 10. A harvest of righteousness will grow and increase. When God puts resources in your hand and you radically, out of radical generosity, you sow those resources for gospel purposes, there will be other people who receive the righteousness of Christ out of your generosity. Let me give you a tangible way in which this happens. Every week or every month, most of you in this room give of your hard-earned wealth, your hard-earned resources to this assembly. And part of what you give goes to support gospel partners, gospel risk takers that are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ that we enjoy here to other places in the world. And we never think about that other than from time to time when we see one of them or we hear about one of them or Pastor Brian gets up and reminds us to pray for them or holds up the prayer card with all of their names on it and then, oh, yeah, we're part of this. But God never forgets. And every week, every month, as you give your money and a portion of that goes to this, one day there's a soul that gets harvested. Maybe there's a church that gets planted. Maybe there's a marriage that gets saved. You give every week to the gospel purposes at Palmetto Baptist Church, and you may not know this, but from time to time, the church takes some of that money and buys a book on marriage to give to a couple who are starting their marriage. And that little investment, you have no idea the harvest of righteousness that could come in that marriage. God says, when you are radically generous with what I have given you, there are gospel ends that come, and one of those ends is a harvest of righteousness. But another end is this: God will enrich you so that your life can grow in radical generosity. I mean, folks, we don't give so that God gives back to us. It's not, this isn't some form, some sanctified prosperity gospel in our lives. It's not like, oh, I'm going to give God because if I just give God this, then God will give me more back. That's not what's going on here. But God says this, listen, when you run out of seed and you're sowing the seed I gave you for gospel purposes, I'm going to enrich your bag. I'm going to put more seed. I'm going to give you more ability and more talent, and you're going to have more opportunity for gospel work. Notice in verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, so somebody's needs are being met, but it is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. When this happens, and out of your radical generosity, somebody's need is met, they are going to glorify God, and they're going to be thankful for you. And that's what we read in verse 13. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God. And that brings us to this. Where does all of this come from? And I want you to look at a statement that Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 9. All of this comes. The glory that God gets because of your radical generosity comes because of your submission. Radical generosity is never going to be true in my life until I submit to something. The kind of radical generosity that you experienced from Christ came when Christ submitted to the will of his Father. And the kind of radical generosity that needs to flow out of my life and out of your life needs to flow out of a submission that was similar to Christ. So what are we submitting to? This submission comes from our confession, something we say we believe about the gospel of Christ. That's why we're talking about grace-enabled, gospel-focused stewardship. This is a stewardship that will never please God. It is a stewardship that will never benefit others unless it flows out of a heart that is submitted to a confession that you believe about God. And here's what you believe about God. You believe that God is a giver and he's not a taker. You believe that God is a giver. The heart of the gospel is an announcement that the biggest giver in the universe, the most radically generous person in the universe, is God. He has richly supplied everything that you need and everything that I need. That is the theological foundation for all of our giving. It comes out of a confession that we submit to. A confession that shapes my life. It shapes how I think. It shapes how I live. And the confession is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the heart of that gospel is a radically generous God who did not spare his own son, who said no to his own son. The night of his death, the evening before his death, he said no to his son so he could say yes to you. This is a radically generous God. And your generosity and mine will flow out of that theological foundation, but it is prepared in a certain way. The Old Testament talks about how God prepared his people to give in regular, measured ways to the support of what he was doing for his glory in their midst. How were they going to be a kingdom of priests? How were they going to display the glory of God to the nations? And God said to them, for that you need a tribe of priests, you need a tabernacle, you need a temple, you need a worship system. And the way that you're going to participate in all of this, the way that you're going to engage in all of this, is you're going to take the resources I give you and you're going to give them for the support of this. And God says, you're going to do it in a regulated, measured, regular way, and it's called the tithe. Think of the Old Testament tithe as the first place in your Bible where God teaches people about their spiritual responsibility and personal obligation to give regularly and proportionately. God said to his people, I want you to give to my purposes. I have a system in place for your good and for my glory and for the benefit of the nations. And as you give, I want you to give regularly, I want you to consistently, and I want you to give a certain measure of your income. And we call that the tithe. And so as we think about what all this means for us, can I just encourage you, and this is where we're going with the series, can I encourage you as we pray here in just a moment to think seriously about three commitments. One, gospel relationship. One, ministry service, and one, financial gift to display regular generosity that flows from a life that has been resourced so generously by God.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Come join us for our morning worship service every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Or you can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billiou. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.